This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It's a Tuesday morning. Happy you could be with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. An sitting down there. Carl Middleman in here. We got Ethan and Sue as well. And we will be wishing Sue Thomas a happy birthday today, won't we? She doesn't like that very much, but we're going to bring it up.
Not
anyway.
If we can help it.
There we go. Having to work on her birthday. How about that? At least there's nothing going on the roads. I can feel my tires crunching this morning where they've already laid down some stuff just in preparation for it. So clearly, at least in the city, Mayor Jones was not taking any chances that in the weeks running up to her reelection bid, she would have to take any more grief about snow on the streets.
Arnold has got a lot of snow.
Oh, I know. Down south, they do have snow. I was talking about downtown. Sorry. In the city of St. Louis, there's no snow. Nothing. In the city of St. Louis. It all went, this first wave all went south of St. Louis, and then I guess wave number two might hit most of the general population here in the greater St. Louis area, right?
It sounds like the city is already telling people that private contractors have been at least told to be on standby. And I'm sure that's in part just to make people feel better. Like, okay, we're doing something. Don't worry.
Yeah. They had a forum last night where they were all talking about this. All the people running for mayor were out there last night. Of course, the mayor, Kara Spencer, was out there. Andrew Jones, who we've had on the radio program. Michael Butler, who's the current recorder of deeds in the city, who's going to join us later this morning. And he's going to be on the air with us. We'll ask him about the snow debacle. They talked a little bit about streets and traffic and policing and things like that last night. To me, if you're running for the mayor of the city of St. Louis, there's a 900-pound elephant in the room that nobody talks about, and that is the crime and the fact that the city has 400 or 500 openings in their police department. How do you get around that? I don't know. Well, we'll have Michael Butler on. If you have questions you'd like us to ask him, put them on the socials this morning. Kim and I both pay attention to that. We read it, and Carl does too. And if we see any mention on there, whether it's YouTube, Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, Rumble, we will be sure and consider that as one of the questions we'll ask Michael Butler when we get him on here just a little bit later. I mean, there are opportunities here for Tishara Jones to get upset, just so you know that. That last poll that came out, there were a lot of disgruntled people, and it looked like Kara Spencer was in the lead over the mayor. Michael Butler was third in that poll, and Andrew Jones was fourth. But there's an opportunity here with this crazy prom king and queen kind of voting system they put in that Mayor Jones could find herself on the outs. It could happen. Stranger things have happened, for sure. All right, a little later in the show, we're going to get Dave Murray. You know David Murray, the chief meteorologist here, is going to join us a little later in the 8 o'clock hour. So if you can't listen to it, you can podcast it, but it'll have a few more details on what he's expecting. I found it pretty funny. I don't know about you two. I found it pretty funny that almost all of these meteorologists waited until maybe last night to start putting snow totals
numbers
on the storm that's going to hit tonight or tomorrow, I guess, during the day on Wednesday.
Yeah, it seemed as though they were saying a little bit more about Tuesday, that it would start on Tuesday, but they were slow to say much about Wednesday because of the way that it was coming in. It just seemed like it could change dramatically.
A little bit of pressure on them. And it also drags it out, right? Because you're glued to every newscast trying to see what the next weather forecast is going to be, and they've all been hesitant to say one way or the other. So we're a day out, and certainly we can get them nailed down at this point. We'll get to Dave Murray again in the 8 o'clock hour, right after we talk to mayoral hopeful Michael Butler. Today we got some Doobie Brother tickets to give away. I guess
the show was announced yesterday.
They didn't officially announce it till yesterday, but today we get to give away a pair of Doobie Brother tickets. We'll do that a little later in the show as well. So we got so much great stuff to get to. Carl, let's start with our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Saturday at 12, we want them all back. I'm speaking for myself. Israel can override it, but from myself, if they're not here, all hell is going to break out.
Yeah, that was President Trump, pretty wide-ranging comments there on Gaza. They asked him, he answered. Isn't that weird? The media doesn't know what to do when you ask a president a question and he answers it. They're not quite sure what to do.
And you're not worried that any of that's going to go back to the consumer?
It might, but it's ultimately going to be much less expensive. And the reason is because the United States has been too nice.
Yeah, they're talking about the tariffs there, obviously, and now he's talking about more widespread tariffs. Yesterday, he decided to protect the steel industry. I wonder when the Granite City plant reopens. Any ideas?
Elon Musk, where are you? Bring your ass over here so you can see who's here.
It's Mad Maxine. Boy, they hate the guy that's not drawing a penny of salary because he wants to cut government waste. Can you believe it? You are goring their ox, Elon.
But one thing that people are still wondering about is the side streets, some of those residential areas, especially those hill routes that did not get treated. And the city says this time around they want to try something different, and they're asking for residents' help.
I love that report they went out to do yesterday. That was I think that report was it Channel 4 or Channel 2?
4.
4. They went out to cover the story about how, you know, last time was such a disaster. I think we're going to try something different this time. Why did it take us 30 years to reach that conclusion, do you think? I don't know. The people that live in the city certainly have been dealing with every snowstorm we all have for the last 30 years, and they've had the exact same result. Streets that were snowpacked for weeks, in many cases. But this time was different. This time something went over the edge. Maybe it's because it's a political year. I don't know. Listen to a little bit more of this report from our friends at Channel 4.
But one thing that people are still wondering about is the side streets, some of those residential areas, especially those hill routes that did not get treated. And the city says this time around they want to try something different, and they're asking for residents' help.
But city leaders are asking residents on hill routes to move their cars to the odd-numbered side of the street during the day as a test.
It's something that we're asking folks to help us with so we can start experimenting with that, so we can learn if that's an effective way to get those bigger trucks down those hill routes without running into cars.
Some neighbors on narrow streets.
There's no way they can park on just one side of the street. We have too many vehicles.
Have their doubts.
I think it's good that they're at least seeing, you know, get a handle on if this would work or not. But with the hilly streets and the number of renters, I just don't see it as a viable option.
Yeah. What do you think? You think this saves Mayor Jones?
I think she's trying to do damage control. I don't think it will ultimately help her. I think they're just short of saying, hey, also, we'd like to get your help. If you could just take your shovel and start clearing your own road, like maybe the section in front of just your home. But if you all do it together, we'll be able to clear this. And then ultimately, the residents are clearing their own streets and the city does nothing.
Or maybe, and this will be controversial, people should get together and throw money into a collect money in a box and go out and pay somebody in addition to their tax dollars to clean their streets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're already paying for the service.
Are you hopeful, Carl, being a city resident?
No.
Okay. All right. Carl is without hope this morning.
No, I know.
So if you're a city resident, you're maybe out of luck. I don't know. We'll see how it happens. Again, we'll ask Michael Butler about it, who's running for mayor of the city of St. Louis just a little bit later in the show in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. We'll get to him, and we can talk a little bit about that for sure. It's been something coming up here after the break we're going to talk about. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. Kim, I know you saw it because you sent it to me. A very old organization with deep roots in making boys into men and teaching them life skills has finally just gone ahead and shut the doors. I mean, they might as well, anyway, in my opinion. It's sad. But the Boy Scouts of America has officially changed its name to remove boys, to remove the name boy. And I it's disgusting. I knew it was coming. And in fact, Carl Middleman, I went back and did a little research this morning. Mm-hmm. In 2019, I told you this was coming. I knew they were going to change the name the minute they announced they were going to try to raid the Girl Scouts. Remember how they used to do panty raids in camp when you were a teenager?
No.
They
I'm
did.
Say no.
They used to do that. You'd raid the girls' cabin and see what you could find. Now they've raided the Girl Scouts for the girls. And it's a sad final note to a once great organization, in my opinion. We're going to talk more about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Carl, who is bringing us our national anthem this morning?
13 years ago today, a great voice passed away.
Okay.
One of the best anthem singers of all time.
I think I know who it is. Hit it.
Whitney Houston.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is this really strong message to everyone in America that they can come to this program, they can bring their authentic self, they can be who they are, right, and they will be welcomed here.
Now, Mark Cox, Soapbox.
OMG. That's all I can say. That guy is the CEO of what used to be known as the Boy Scouts of America, announcing that they are now officially genderless. God, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. They've changed the name. Now, this back in 2019, they announced this. And when they made that decision, I wondered what they would change the name to. Could they keep the BSA? It was BSA. Could it be Ballless Scouts of America? I was wondering what they would go with. I heard someone say that this would mark the latest exodus from this once heralded organization. I would say that it's too late. What they've done is raid the Girl Scouts. Do you understand that? Boy Scout membership is about half what it was in the 1980s, about a third of what the membership was in the 1970s. And instead of trying to adjust the bureaucracy that that it has become, which led to this failure, to train up the next generation of young men, they collapsed like a cheap deck of cards. And that guy's to blame. The name change was not the beginning of the end of the Boy Scouts. In my opinion, that's already been well underway. This ices it. I called this 6 years ago, that when they said they were going to go after girls, they would end up changing the name. Boy would no longer work, right? BSA couldn't stand for Bi-Gendered Scouts of America. I don't know. How about GSA, Genderless Scouts of America? How about USA, Unisex Scouts of America? General Robert Baden-Powell, who founded the Scouts, is spinning in his grave somewhere in England right now. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the ladies, but they don't belong in the Boy Scouts. Now, this is sad to me because I enjoyed watching my son transition to manhood with strong male role models at home and in his Scout pack. He learned leadership skills, how to treat others, especially women, with respect. He became self-sufficient with a healthy yes sir, no sir attitude. But that's not good enough for a society hell-bent for the past 40 years on emasculating the American male. It is a shame. It is about the tearing down of manliness in this society. That's what it's about. If you don't see the bigger picture here, I have a question for you. Look at Hollywood's role in all this over the years of emasculating men. What was one of your favorite sitcoms? King of Queens? Modern Family, maybe? The Big Bang Theory? If you look at all of those, they feature immature, usually overweight, lazy, spineless men who navigate life by accident or dumb luck or with the help of a superior female character. In other words, this movement's been underway for a long time to reinforce the negative stereotype that any form of masculine behavior has to be marginalized, ridiculed, and shunned. I want all of you to understand why this Boy Scout decision bothers me so much. When it comes to the development of young men, Scouts offered something special. It offered something that is disappearing quickly from our society. Excuse me. It's already disappeared, I'm afraid, from our society. Our last chance to train up some Jedi warriors before the Empire turns us all into clones for the dark side. Maybe Donald Trump can reverse some of that, but Boy Scouts is already gone.
Kim on a whim.
I came across the story yesterday and I just had to share it. There's this video that's getting shared around social media of a man who I guess was at his child's hockey game. And we're talking about kids who were 12 years or younger playing hockey in Seattle, Washington.
All right.
On Sunday, so Super Bowl Sunday. And his kid and some other kid on the ice get into some sort of a fight. This dad decides to walk out onto the ice and push the refs down. You know how old the refs were? 13 and 14 years old.
He did not.
And so you see it on the video. The guy claims, by the way, he took off before officers arrived, but they ended up following him and they pulled him over and arrested him.
They know
him.
Who his kid is.
He's facing misdemeanor assault charges.
On
a minor. He's saying, no, I went out there because they were in a fight and they happened to be pushed down basically while I was trying to break up the fight. Well, it's very obvious, even when you see this surveillance video that's, again, going everywhere on the internet, the fight was very much over. This guy was clearly just mad, maybe felt like they didn't handle things the way that they should, and so he was angry enough to go push them. And they did have minor injuries, so thankfully they're not seriously hurt. But this just goes to show how out of control some of these games, these sports have gotten, where parents just go berserk. And these poor refs who were 13 and 14 years old in this case are the ones who are having to deal with these angry parents.
That's a shame. At a very early age, probably one of the worst experiences of my life, My buddy convinced me to come down and help him referee a baseball game because I can make $10 for doing it, and we could use it for beer money. And I decided to go do it, and I really wasn't prepared for the vitriol of adults who were there to watch their kids play ball. And I made a wrong call as a very green umpire, and you couldn't believe how awful that is at that age to have full-grown adults screaming at you that they're going to wring your neck. I mean, it must have been awful for these kids. I hope that guy gets banned from ever attending one of those events again. That's awful.
Maybe that's what it will take. There have to be more serious consequences for the crazy parents who just can't seem to shut their mouths.
I know.
You know, I get it. You want your kid to succeed. It is frustrating when you feel like the refs are making a bad call. I mean, that's the case in all sports. It's not just for, you know, youth sports in this case, but all sports. I understand. But at some point, I mean, you just got to realize, like, these are 12-year-olds. I mean, yes. Really? We're not talking about the NHL.
Your kid is not Wayne Gretzky.
Well, tell that to the parents. I think that would be very hurtful for them, Carl. They all apparently think that they are Wayne Gretzky and that this is like the biggest game ever of their life and that they have to make sure that they win this game. And it's just crazy to me how bad it's gotten. And I think that your mention of, you know, maybe this guy needs to be banned, maybe that seriously would be effective. If parents were fearful that they may never get to see their kid play for the rest of the season if they acted up, maybe that would be enough of a deterrent to get them to shut up.
Nothing you say as a parent is going to change the outcome of the next call by the official. And that's why I think he gets them so worked up. Like, you know, when the coaches argue, they're arguing for the next play. The parents want the one that just happened to be overturned because they're so angry in many cases. I've watched it in every sport. I've certainly watched it in basketball, and the parent that's louder than everybody else, and everybody else kind of sits away from them up in the stands because they know what's coming in every game. You know who they are. Mm-hmm. You kind of feel bad for them or their family.
And their kids.
And their kid is usually horrified.
Well, yeah, I'm sure this dad's kid is absolutely mortified that his dad was that angry that he went and pushed the kids.
Who's going to take the kid to the games and practice?
He'll have to drop him off, 100 feet from the building if he has some sort of restraining order.
I don't know. I mean, but what a shame. So the guy's been he's only been charged with a
misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor assault?
Misdemeanor assault charges.
On a kid.
Two charges.
Well, that's true.
But still, I mean, that's a slap on the wrist. I don't know what more you could charge him with.
I'll have to look at the video. I mean, was he trying to get to his kid and he just kind of cleared him?
No, absolutely not.
He chucked him to the ground?
They were at the officiating booth trying to assess the penalties.
Okay.
So the fight was way over.
Oh, and he went over to them.
They were at the officials table saying who got what. One kid had his back to him and he turned around and the guy was just there and he got pushed over and fell on his head.
He shoved him pretty hard. It wasn't like a little love tap.
People have anger management issues.
You know, these refs in general take a beating. It's not just the youth sports. It's really any of the sport. I mean, think about the Kansas City Chiefs and people feeling like the refs were rigging it for them because they wanted, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce because of Taylor Swift and all these theories that I've heard. And I don't know if there's any truth to that. Maybe. We asked Mike Martz that last week and he said, well, you know, likely not. Could it happen? Yes.
I saw a great meme yesterday with Kelce yelling at the coach, and the caption was, "What do you mean all the money we gave to refs came from USAID?"
That's good. Yeah, it's very interesting. I saw this video on OutKick. That's one of the websites I like to check out for some stories because they seem to have some random stuff on there.
Yes.
And there were these two guys who were talking about how the landscape has changed as it relates to refs because specifically of gambling. Listen to this.
People now know officials' names, and I think gambling has a big deal to do with that. I think people, like, I'll look on X or Twitter, whatever you call it, and they're like, well, so-and-so's and such and his crew is officiating this game, and they've called six holds against this guy. I don't think that's good for the sport. It's here. You're not putting that thing back in the box, but I think gambling's a big part of this.
Oh, I think it's a huge part of it, and you're right. I mean, I think that the
old philosophy was with officiating, sweep it under the rug. Okay, forget about it. Don't mention it. Whatever. Controversy, forget it. Don't address it.
Yeah.
The fact, though, is that I think, and I think the good thing about the rules analyst right now is that we want to help the fans understand the rules, understand the philosophy of the rules, why things are called. We want to be the ones that admit if a mistake is made, because I think there has to be transparency. And I think that the fans, if they understand the rules and they understand why calls are made or not made, then I think they enjoy the game actually more.
I think if you understand the rules, that does help. I don't do I don't do the gambling. I don't sports bet. That's obviously about to be legal here in Missouri.
Shame on you. That's going to give $100 million to our schools, Kim, and you're not participating.
I don't care about the kids, so.
I know, it's over. So I was shocked to hear in that soundbite you just played, but I know people who are gambling addicts who will bet on anything. So they're now changing how they bet against certain for or against certain teams based on who the officiating crew is?
Yes, and that's what their point is that they're looking at how they've made calls in the past, and I guess they now know the refs' names. Maybe that wasn't as common of knowledge back then. I don't know.
So you know this guy's a stickler, and if he's the one in charge of this crew, they're going to be calling more fouls or more traveling or whatever than they would otherwise.
We knew that in hockey, professional hockey. If we had certain refs, they dropped the puck faster or they are more likely to throw somebody out, which will make the game longer. And that they're more likely to call interference penalties or whatever penalties that they're known for.
All right.
Guess that's a thing.
All the time.
Call bets off if you got that bad of a gambling problem that you're changing how you bet it, on a team one way or the other based on who the officiating
crew
is.
If you're betting on refs,
you think,
have a problem.
Unless you think they're fixing the game, that's just the height of stupidity.
I mean, did people used to know? Was it as readily available, that information about who was reffing a game beforehand?
No,
or you think
not
that's,
far in advance, I don't think.
But you think that's shared more often now because of social media and because of gambling and people want to know which way calls might go?
It's more readily available. You know who they are and so, they have the stats to see how many calls.
Yeah, some nerd had to do a lot of work to figure out what the number of calls were with this crew versus this other crew. Plus, it's not always the same three or four people. Sometimes they mix up the crews. So what do you do then? I mean, that's just, I don't know. I don't get it.
So you have individual stats for
I guess. Kim, have you ever heard of the Pfizer papers?
I've not.
This is Dr. Naomi Wolf has released this book on the Pfizer papers where she claims that Pfizer knew certain things about the vaccine that they declined to release to the public in advance. And she's now got a book out on it, and she's speaking out on it. And some of what she has to say is shocking. I mean, we've all had our theories about the vaccine. This stuff is shocking, particularly if you are of childbearing years and you got the vaccine and then had a child. The numbers of how live births were affected is shocking. And we're going to play that soundbite. I want you to hear from Dr. Wolf when we come back. Stay tuned. All right. Welcome back. I saw everybody talking about the Kendrick Lamar performance at halftime yesterday. I thought Hannity talked about it last night. He said, listen, we're not talking about the Super Bowl tonight. He said, we've talked everything there is to talk about it all day long. I'll just say disappointing game. And worst halftime performance I've ever seen. He went on. That's about all he had to say about it. I don't know how you felt. That seemed to be people of a certain age certainly reached that that conclusion yesterday. So
I just saw that the NFL supposedly sent some sort of an apology to Lil. Is this real? Sent an apology to Lil Wayne for choosing Kendrick Lamar? That seems
that
fake. But everybody,
that's gotta be fake.
Like Daily Mail's reporting on it, the U.S. Sun, Irish Star, whatever that is.
Really?
Lil Wayne really wanted to do it.
Oh.
There's a bunch of outlets that are saying it, but that just sounds crazy that they would admit that they made a mistake.
They'll be in concert here in St. Louis a week from Friday, 2 weeks from Friday.
Who will?
Lil Wayne.
Oh, no kidding. How did I miss that? Why did we not give tickets away for that?
You want to go?
No.
Hey, Mark, name a Lil Wayne song.
Lil Wayne. Didn't he have a song named after himself?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Good guess.
Out of Love.
No idea. I have no idea. And
Lollipop.
I'm glad that I don't have any idea. I just don't like that genre. I couldn't name a song either. Never have.
I would know a song.
Never will. I don't know. Just not interested in it. All right. Let's get back to this Pfizer story here. Have you heard of a book called The Pfizer Papers? This is by Dr. Naomi Wolf. And the conclusion of this is... The full name of the book is The Pfizer Papers, Pfizer's Crimes Against Humanity. And it features new reports written by research volunteers based on the primary source of Pfizer clinical trial documents released under court order on related medical literature. And it basically concludes that in... The Pfizer's mRNA COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial was deeply flawed, and that the company knew by November of 2020 that its vaccine was neither safe nor effective. This is what the book claims. It was written by medical doctor Naomi Wolf and Amy Kelly were the writers of this book. Despite the fact that Pfizer committed in its own clinical trials protocol, to follow the placebo arm of its trial for 24 months, they vaccinated approximately 95% of placebo recipients by March of 2021, eliminating the trial's control group. And I want you to hear what Dr. Naomi Wolf said yesterday about she calls it intentional. She says what happened to America as a result of this was intentional on the part of Pfizer. This is about a minute and a half long. I want you to listen.
The centerpiece of the Pfizer papers is an intentional attack on human sexuality, and especially on women and babies. They killed the babies and they knew it. They poisoned the breast milk and they knew it. They damaged the placentas and they knew it. They lowered the sperm count and they knew it. They have a chart of the babies they're injuring. They have a chart of the women's menstrual cycles that they're disrupting. They concluded that babies were dying in utero due to maternal exposure to the vaccine. And this is the document that went to Dr. Walensky. And then she gave a press conference saying, you've got to, you know, get a vaccine, a COVID vaccine before, during, or after your pregnancy. So this is satanic, right? This is satanic on a massive level. And you look at Borla and you look at, you know, the fact that they knew they were doing this, which if you read the Pfizer papers, you cannot conclude otherwise. And this 13 to 20% drop in live births. So I guess what I'm trying to say is they tried to kill us. You know, they tried to wipe us out. They tried to sterilize us. A lot of people died. There's going to be horrible struggles with fertility, but we survived and the truth came out.
Wow.
I'm obviously staunchly against the COVID shot, and I have zero regrets about not getting it. And I think many people who chose to not get it would probably agree with me. I don't hear anyone saying, man, I wish I had gotten that.
You never hear anybody say that.
I wish I hadn't is what I often hear.
Yes.
You know,
I wish I hadn't. I'm not in childbearing years anymore. And I had a mother trapped in a nursing home, completely isolated, and nobody could visit her. And she couldn't leave. I got the shot primarily because somebody needed to be able to go in and take things to her and visit with her, and they wouldn't let me in unless I was vaccinated.
That's crazy. That's just not okay.
It's not. And I regret it. I mean, I'm still drawing breath for now, but there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm also not a woman of childbearing years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do I think that they could be trying to do some type of population control? Maybe. I actually more so think that it was just they are so money hungry that they knew that they had to rush it. And, you know, I do put some of the blame on Trump for the, you know, Operation Warp Speed. I get he was doing the best he could at the time with the information he had. But this is just not something that you can rush when you're injecting something into your body and forcing it on people. And obviously then Joe Biden took that over and took it about 10 steps beyond what Trump had. I think it was just Pfizer trying to get out as many people as they could and make a lot of money. I just don't know if they went into it thinking we want to do population control.
Well, I don't know. The mRNA idea was already out there. It was already developed.
Right.
And the pressure was then to make it work against COVID. And once this company stepped forward and said, we can do that, that's when they failed to properly vet exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. I do believe that to be the case. There was such a rush to calm the public and say, listen, we've got a vaccine, and I think they rushed it to market. I really do believe that. We need to get Dr. Wolf on here, Carl. Let's see if we can figure out a way to get Dr. Naomi Wolf on the program to talk more about that. All right, a quick break. We got some Doobie Brothers tickets to give away a little later. Todd Pyro, it is 2A Tuesday, and we'll talk to Michael Butler, who's running for mayor in the city.
Get more at 971talk.com.